Welcome to Confessions of a Sales Pro. My very special guest this week is a gentleman by the name of Brian Clayton, co-founder of GreenPal in Nashville, Tennessee. Brian is a successful entrepreneur and co-founder of GreenPal, an online platform that connects homeowners with local lawn care professionals. Brian developed an early interest in entrepreneurship and started his first business at, get this, the age of 13 years old, mowing lawns in his neighborhood. After completing school, Brian founded Peachtree, which grew to become one of the largest landscaping companies in Tennessee with annual revenues over $10 million. In 2013, Peachtree was acquired by LUSA Holdings, a national company and one of the largest acquisitions in the landscaping industry. Brian then turned his focus to his new venture, GreenPal, which rapidly grew and now serves over 200,000 active users, completing thousands of transactions per day. The company has been recognized by several publications, including Entrepreneur Magazine, and is dubbed the Uber for lawn care. I love that. Moreover, GreenPal is entirely self-funded, a rare accomplishment in the startup world, and now reports annual revenues of over $30 million, a remarkable achievement for a bootstrap startup. Brian's also an experienced public speaker and has given talks on topics such as entrepreneurship, marketing, and small business growth at conferences and events across the U.S. He is passionate about helping other entrepreneurs succeed and is known for his expertise in bootstrapping businesses from zero revenue to profitability and to a successful exit. Brian, welcome to the podcast today.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
And thanks for making the time. You got that. It's just amazing, your story. It really sparks a chord with me, where you took your childhood dream, made it successful once and sold it, and then have turned the whole, thrown technology on it, and now you're going to a whole new level. It's just a fascinating story. So, Brian, maybe you could share the story behind the creation of GreenPal with our listeners. But what ignited your passion to simplify the process of lawn care services?
You know, I was kind of solving my own problem. I spent 15 years in the landscaping business, started a lawn mowing company with just me and a push mower, and grew it to over 150 employees and $10 million a year in revenue, and then got it acquired by a national company. And that took, you know, 15 years. And after I sold that business, I decided, well, what do I want to do with my life now? And I thought, well, somebody is going to build an app that makes it as easy as ordering a book on Amazon or ordering an Uber to get this chore done, to hire a lawn mowing service. And I thought, well, why can't that be me? Why can't I do that? And it was kind of naivete as an asset. I didn't really know what I didn't know, and I didn't know how challenging it was going to be. But I didn't let that stop me, and I recruited two co-founders, and we started working on the idea for GreenPal, which is a app like Uber, but for lawn care services. And now GreenPal is a 10-year overnight success. My two co-founders and I have been at this for a little over a decade, and now we're nationwide, United States, around 300,000 people using the app to order lawn mowing services. And we're still working on the same problem that we started off with 10 years ago, which is, how do we make getting this chore done as easy as pushing a button on your smartphone? And how do we make it cheaper, faster, easier, more reliable, more convenient, and also help lawn care services make more money doing it? How do we get them more business? How do we make their business more efficient? How do we make their lives better? And solving problems for both sides of the transaction, and it's making it better and better and better. And it's actually been a lot of fun. We've had some 100-hour weeks over the last 10 years, but I haven't worked a day in 10 years. It's been a challenging, unique kind of, journey that's never ending, and I've enjoyed every day of it.
That's fantastic. What a story. And I love what you said, an overnight 10 years success story. And that's something for the listeners to pay attention to, because things don't happen right overnight. And if you can find something like you have, Brian, that is your passion, your purpose, and I love what you said, why not me? You know, listeners, we can all say that about something. Why not me? Why can't it be me? And I love that you embraced that, committed to it, and you're solving a problem for both sides of the street, right? For the actual consumer of the service that needs their lawn looked after, and for those in the service of providing that. So you've created a marketplace that solves problems for everyone. So GreenPal, Brian, is known for successfully connecting customers with local lawn care professionals, as we've said. Could you identify some of the telltale signs that a neighborhood or a community might greatly benefit from GreenPal's services?
You know, it's funny. When we first started 10 years ago, I thought that our customer was going to be basically the same customer that I had in my landscaping business. A higher end, more affluent clientele, million-dollar plus homes, because I thought that lawn mowing services and landscaping services and gardening service were like a luxury, because maybe back then it was 20 years ago when I first started in this business. And so when we first started GreenPal, we had no way to get customers. We had no way to get the word out. So we took a page out of my former company's playbook. We passed out door hangers. We passed out flyers all over Nashville, Tennessee, where we live, and maybe passed out like 500,000 of these things over the course of 6 months. And we first started going to the high-end neighborhoods in town and got no uptake, no signups. Nobody cared. Nobody needed it. Nobody needed the service, because these people were spending $4,000, $5,000, sometimes $10,000 a year on landscaping maintenance services. So then we started out of desperation just going to the working class parts of town, you know, $100,000, $150,000 homes, and $200,000 homes. Started passing out flyers there. Then the phone started ringing. Downloads of the app started occurring. People started using the product. And what we came to find out was those folks weren't getting served by the community of landscaping services in Nashville. They weren't getting their phone calls returned. They were getting ghosted because they weren't spending thousands of dollars a year on landscaping maintenance. They were spending hundreds. And so we began to identify that is our customer. That's who we need to build a product for, and that's who we need to sell to. And it was only because we started passing out flyers and started testing with different segments of the market did we understand who we could develop a value proposition for. And so that's who we built the product for, and still to this day, of the several hundred thousand people using the app, it's your dual income households, it's single mothers, it's people that just need to get a decent service done and don't want to pay a fortune for it.
Makes so much sense. I love that you basically found the need in the market. And for all the listeners out there, what did you do? Well, you tried something and you didn't let it stop you. You tried it again in a different demographic. So you listened to the marketplace and responded and filled the need. And as you said, the phone started to ring, the download started to happen, and onward and upward you went. So there's a lot lesson there for everyone who's listening today. Now, Brian, your platform has a unique approach in vetting the lawn care professionals themselves. Can you tell us a little more about the characteristics and maybe qualifications you look for when you're onboarding new professionals onto GreenPal?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there again, when we first started, we had this assumption that the people that we thought would need to use the platform, would want to use the platform, that we could best serve were your bigger companies, maybe had 10 employees, 20, 30 employees, maybe 10, 20 crews going out every day. And so that's who we started the market to. And there again, nobody cared. They didn't want another system. They didn't want another inbox to have to go answer. They didn't want another way of doing business. They didn't want to have another login screen. And so we had to start testing with different types of operators of lawn care services. And what we began to understand was action produces information. And that's really all we needed to do. We just needed to try different things, get information, and then kind of iterate and experiment our way to what worked. And what ended up working was your smaller lawn care services. Maybe people just getting started in the business. They just bought a lawnmower and they want to pick up a couple of clients to take care of on the afternoons after their full-time job or on the weekends. And that was the ideal lawn care pro that would be well suited for our platform. Somebody who was just getting started, who maybe only wanted 10 or 20 customers and wanted to kind of slowly ease their way into the business, our platform was perfect for that type of person. And that's who we started marketing towards. And then we let them grow their business and kind of grow up on our platform and get their first 10 customers, then 50, then 100, then 200, and so on. And so it took kind of like beating our heads against the wall, trying to ram the product kind of down the throat of the established companies in town and them just being tone deaf to it, to then have to back up, punt, and say, okay, let's get the folks that are just getting started in the business and kind of be their coach on how to grow a lawn mowing business and how to get them started and get them rolling.
Love that you did it. So again, you listen to that side of the street as well. You listen to the people providing the lawn care services. So I like what you said too, Brian, about action, information, and then you make some selection and decisions around that and aim at the right demographic. You've done that both on the end user side and on the lawn care professional side. That's fantastic. You know, certainly Uber for a lawn care certainly is a great tagline for you, although you probably can't use that. What are some of the challenges? Because every business has a challenge, right? I've had mine for over 25 years, and there's been some times when, you know, we hit a few rocky roads, the rapids got a little bumpy. And so what are some of the challenges you've encountered in convincing potential customers to switch to an online platform like GreenPal for their lawn care needs?
Yeah, that was one of the things that caught me off guard when I first started GreenPal. Because here, you know, I built my first landscaping business and sold it, and here I think I know everything there is to know about business. And after starting, and then I started GreenPal, 6 months went by, and I realized I didn't know diddly squat about how to build a new product from scratch and get people to use it. Nobody told me that how hard that was going to be. And I learned the lesson the hard way that there's a big difference between running a traditional type of business, like a landscaping company or a construction company or a restaurant or something, versus inventing a brand new product from scratch that does not exist in the world and educating the masses on how to use it, that they want to use it, that they should use it, getting them to be aware of it. That was actually a lot harder than it looked. And I guess that was the thing that caught me off guard, was like, whoa, this is going to be challenging. And what I came to understand was, it's kind of like there's an old Steve Martin quote, be so good they can't say no. We had to build a product so good that it didn't make any sense to do it the old way anymore. And the only way we got there was just by starting really small and getting a handful of users, and I'm talking 20 or 30 homeowners to use the app, and 5 or 10 lawn care services to use it, and just intensely study their user behavior for like a year, and mapping out, okay, well, these are the things that we can do to make it cheaper, and these are the things we can do to make it faster, and these are the things we can do that'll cut costs and make the lawn care pro more money with less headache. And these are the ways that we can create a bigger gap between doing it the old way with phone calls and pen and paper versus digitally through an app. And it took a long time. It really took about 3 years. And so that was how we got to kind of that Steve Martin being so good you couldn't say no. It took about 3 years of doing things at a very small scale, testing, and tripping on a small stage before we grew the business. We kind of like nail it, then scale it was the approach we took.
Love that. I love that term, nail it and scale it. That's a t-shirt for so many of us. It's and you're right, when you're launching not a new business, a new business concept, a new way to do business, there's a lot of, it's almost like evangelizing a marketplace. It takes me back to my days at Apple, Steve Jobs, when, no, he'd invent brand new ideas, and how do we sell this? Well, you make it so good that the people buying it will sell it for you, right? So I think of some of the other platforms that would be in the same conversation as GreenPal. Uber, Netflix, Apple Music are all of our online banking. Once you're used to using those apps, how would you ever survive without them? You got to have it. So in the lawn care world, it's Green Pal. And so your persistence, Brian, continues to pay off. You keep, you know, working on it, making it better, making it easier, making the whole ecosystem either save some money or make more money, depending on what side of the desk they're on. I'm sure, though, every business, as we've kind of noted, has its hurdles, right? So I'm sure there's been some times when you wanted to just quit. You wanted to rip your hair out over the last decade building this company. And so many of our listeners are entrepreneurs. They are small business owners, perhaps mid-sized business owners. What advice would you give other founders on how to keep going when it doesn't feel like anything is truly working?
It's so hard. I think a lot of times sometimes like genius and like a champion can just be misunderstood for just plain old consistency. Day in, day out, showing up, putting in the reps, inching the business little by little, one sale at a time towards the goals over a long period of time, and doing the right things day in, day out. Like, these things don't add up, they compound. And the next thing you know, 1, 2, 3, 5 years goes by, and all of those little things that you did on a daily basis for a long period of time start to compound, and you wake up in a whole new world, and you wake up with the business actually working. And it's hard, because the first 2 or 3 years, it's almost indistinguishable. In the book Atomic Habits, the author talks about how when an ice cube is melting from like degrees 25 to 30, you don't see anything. It just sits there like an ice cube. And then you raise the heat from 31 to 32 degrees, and it starts to melt. And everybody sees the ice cube melting at 31 to 32, 33 degrees, but they don't see anything at 25 to 30 or 20 to 30. So people look at 31 to 32 and they think, okay, that was an overnight success. But the reality is that there was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years of work to get to that point. And so I think you have to remind yourself of that as a founder, that the little small incremental wins that you're achieving on a daily basis don't add up. They compound. And the way to win at this game is just to not give up.
I love what you said, Brian, about consistency. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're running a business, you're running a sales team, you are a salesperson, consistency is how you get sustained results. It's not a flash in the pan. It's not one and done. It never is. And I like what you said, inching along. I use the football analogy. Get the next first down. Never mind where the end zone is yet. Just get the next first down. Now you got the ball again. And keep going down the field, and all of a sudden you look back, and as you talked about, Brian, compounded value and growth happens. And when you look back the other side of the field, wow, we've come a long way. It's from doing all those things right every day, and there's this cumulative effect. It's a bit like the iceberg model, too. When you look at an iceberg, you go, oh, wow, look how wonderful and beautiful. Well, guess what's underneath that? That was all the hard work that pushed it above the waterline, so... Brian, listen, I want to thank you for sharing your wisdom, your success with our listeners today. Before we let you go, I'm sure you scratched a few foreheads. Some of our listeners are going, how did Brian do that? I'd like to pick his brain. Or maybe I need my lawn done. Who knows what the interest could be, but how can the listeners best reach out to get a hold of you and your services, Brian?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And thanks for having me on. This has been an awesome interview. Anybody that doesn't want to waste time mowing their own yard, just go to greenpal.com and you get signed up in less than a minute. And anybody who wants to hit me up, Instagram is the best place to find me. Just find me at Brian M. Clayton and just drop me a DM there.
That's fantastic. Again, Brian Clayton, co-founder of Greenpal in Nashville, Tennessee. An overnight 10-year success with his company, Greenpal. Again, Brian, thank you for being on the show today.
Ian, thanks for having me on. It's been great.
And thank you all for listening to Confessions of a Sales Pro.
If you have found this episode informative and helpful, we would be honored and appreciative if you would share this podcast with other great salespeople like yourself. And we look forward to you joining us for all new episodes weekly, every Thursday. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. If you'd like us to help you grow your sales commissions, visit us at salesmentoryou.com. Confessions of a Sales Pro. Lessons, more wins with Ian Selby.